Blog Talk Radio.
Don't let that flag hit the ground.
Live from Patriot Studios in Hazlett, Texas, it's Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. And today's show...
Give me a team for Texas, a team for Tennessee.
Help me out a bit on this
one. Come on, help me out.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Make it rain.
God bless the South. And God bless America.
That's right, we're going to show them how it's done this November.
God, I love this country.
Show them. South's gonna rise again, patriots. We're gonna take this country back. We're gonna do it in fine rockin' style, just like Lynyrd Skynyrd.
You wanna mess with us, Obama? Come on, boy.
My leg and tell me it's raining.
I'm so excited, and I'm mad. I'm angry.
I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to get rid of these rhinos, and I'm ready to get rid of those cur dogs in the Democratic Party. I'm ready to get rid of that socialist in the White House that usurped our Constitution. And today is all about Texas and Tennessee. Today is about the modern-day Jim Bowie and Davy Crockett of Texas and Tennessee. You know, folks, Stephen F. Austin once said, if he, who by conquest wins an empire and receives the world's applause, how much more is due to those who, by unceasing toil, lay in the wilderness the foundation for an infant colony and build thereon a vigorous and happy state? Surely there is not among men a more honorable destiny than to be the peaceful founder and builder of a new empire. Why am I quoting Stephen F. Austin? What does it matter, right? It matters a lot, and let me tell you why, patriots. We've been cast to the wilderness for years, and in it we lay. In our exile, with unceasing toil, we built, we nurtured, and we suckled on the breast of patriotism, the infant that has been our cause. It has grown with us. It has matured with time and gained strength by reflection, with the very conservative principles that President Ronald Reagan inculcated upon us. We gave birth to the Tea Party. This year, on the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812, we march from the wilderness of obsolescence, and we shall rise like a phoenix in rebirth. And just as Demetrius Polycetes, pardon me on my Greek, it's not very good, erected the winged victory as a monument to his victory at Cyprus, we shall deliver our nation from the ruin that has been propagated upon us by the despot Barack Obama, who has usurped our Constitution and made a mockery of our country. Friends, in May 1843, Commodore Edwin Moore, let me tell you a little story. In 1843, May of 1843, Commodore Edwin Moore fought the final naval battle at Campeche in the Yucatan Peninsula. He fought it with a ragtag fleet of sloops and brigs. He went up against the hydra-headed monsters, the Mexican ironclad, the greatest ironclad of its time in the world, Guadalupe, and the wooden steam-powered warships Montezuma and Aguilla. He won that naval battle. Defeating the ironclad Guadalupe and the equally formidable Montezuma and Aguilla, driving them off in defeat with heavy loss of life. With heavy loss of life, he drove them off. What's the moral to my story, patriots? Under great duress and at moments of huge importance, overwhelming odds can be overcome. I know that there's not one among you, man nor woman, who is not honorable, who cannot be called a patriot, in the truest sense of the word, akin only to those patriots who sacrificed all to give us the country we call America. My friends, this is a story of overcoming overwhelming odds, of pulling yourselves up by your bootstraps and digging in, prepared, ready, and willing to do battle in the grand old cause. Xenophon, I think in his Institution of Cyrus, somewhere mentions that one of his heroes had come to the conclusion that he had two souls, a good one and a bad one, which predominated alternately. When the good one had ascendancy, his actions were all good and benevolent. But when the evil principles prevailed, his actions were all vicious and detrimental. If ever men had two souls, I think my Lieutenant Governor, David Dewhurst of Texas, and Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee do, for their conduct is clearly prompted by two opposing and governing principles, is that of the Persian prince. On Tuesday, May the 8th of this year, Richard Murdoch beat outright the longtime entrenched moderate rhino Dick Lugar, and Tea Party conservatism and principles prevailed. Then this last Tuesday on the 29th here in Texas, I spent 16 hours as a elections judge here in my precinct. And on that day, Ted Cruz prevented David Dewhurst from the magical number of 50% plus one. And we now find ourselves doing battle in the cause of Tea Party conservatism until July 31st, when we hold our runoff election. And God willing and the creek don't dry, we shall whoop Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst. And we will whoop Bob Corker on the 2nd of August. And we will prevail in this fight for our country. David Dewhurst has attempted to paint Ted Cruz as a special interest politician that supports amnesty, that's killing U.S. manufacturing, whose law firm gave over $200,000 to Barack Obama, who wants to raise taxes, and many more duplicitous outright lies. The truth is, Ted has done none of those things, and David Dewhurst, in his feeble attempt to buy this election, is an outright liar. And as we Texans and my fellow brothers and sisters in Tennessee like to say, if you'll cheat and lie to me, you'll steal from me. In Tennessee, there's also a battle. That battle's with a person that Mark Levin calls the damn weasel, Senator Bob Corker. Bob Corker is ranked with a scorecard at Heritage Conservatives scorecard website of 77% on his Heritage scorecard and bought his way into the Senate. Bob Corker also believes that the way to fix Obamacare is to fix and reform it rather than repeal it. Folks, my Tennessee brothers and sisters, he wants to fix and repair Obamacare rather than repeal it. This is the biggest government intrusion and socialist takeover in our lives in the history of this country. Corker's record is well known. And if you don't know about him, I urge you to do a little research or listen to Mark Levin, or better yet, stay tuned to this show because I've got his field director, Melissa Bonahan, my special co-host today. She's going to be on with me. We're doing this show, and we've got a good lineup, and we're going to talk about the truth. We're going to get the truth out there. We're going to beat these establishment Republicans like Dewhurst and Corker. The facts are a funny thing, patriots. And when you do the research required to muddle through the smears that Dewhurst is propagating about Ted Cruz, or look at the actual record of Bob Corker, the facts speak very differently than the establishment Republicans, Dewhurst and Corker, would have you believe. They're so numerous, in fact, that I will simply just have to encourage you once again. You're going to have to do the research. But I know all of you that are listening will do it, if you don't already know it. I know that you all want real conservatives that are as honest as the day is long, like Ted Cruz and Zach Poskovich. I know that you don't want liars, cheats, and thieves like Dewhurst and Corker, both of whom have endorsements by all the big money PACs that are destroying our party, our country, our government, everything that's right and good about America with their special interests. I know that you want conservatives with Tea Party values and principles. And speaking of Zach, we need to be pounding those big names aforementioned that endorse Ted. Folks like Sarah Palin, Herman Cain, Pat Toomey, Jim DeMint, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Michelle Bachmann. We need to be pounding these every day. We need to be sending tweets telling them who we want them to endorse in Tennessee. We need to be sending letters to the editor of the five top newspapers in Tennessee stating why Zach Poskovich is the man that needs to replace Bob Corker. Folks, our Congress needs to be held accountable to we the people. And if men like Dewhurst and Corker are not willing to do our bidding, and rather opt for the convenience of going along to get along, special interest, inside the establishment politics, then it's time to either not hire them in the case of Dewhurst or fire their butts in the case of Bob Corker. Just like we did Lugar. And I say we because we all did it. I know every single one of my friends that's listening. And if you're not someone I know that's listening, I know that you're listening because you feel the same way that we do. We all, concerted effort, we fired Lugar in Indiana. Patriots, it's time to get motivated. Election 2012 is a defining period in America's history. How will history write of what became of the United States? Will the recorded remonstrance be that when it was known that the national treasury was without a dime, that the resources of the country were exhausted, public credit was prostrate, in short, the nation was bankrupt both financially and morally, that confidence was destroyed in both political parties and with the executive and legislative branches, that we were surrounded with inveterate and placeable enemies upon our borders, that insurrection and insubordination to the law stalked abroad through the land, that America's people were without work and unemployment ran rampant, and that dependency upon the government for assistance had become the norm. In a word, we had been reduced to the very lowest point of national degradation, and that by way of Greece and other Western European nations, we saw our fate and sat idly by? Is that how history will record our fate? Forbid it not, patriots. Future historians hopefully will record that persons rose from the ranks of common Americans, persons of moral compass and principled ideas that had worked their way up in life and pulled themselves up by their bootstraps with solid, sound, conservative principles at the gloomiest period of their country's history. In the darkest hour of their nation's travail, to deliver her from thraldom and bondage, that these mighty Herculean men of principle delivered their state and their country from the fangs of the political python that had enveloped her within its folds. Shall it be told to posterity that at such a time and under such circumstances, these men like Ted Cruz and Zach Poskovitz, by common consent of Texans and Tennessean citizenry, acquired the name of benefactor to their state and their country and saved her from this hydra-headed monster that she had been left an easy prey and threatened to devour her and hold? Folks, Ted Cruz is Texas's modern-day Jim Bowie. Zach Poskovich is Tennessee's modern-day Davy Crockett. And like Bowie and Crockett, who fought and gave their lives at the Battle of the Alamo, who fought in the cause of liberty, and gave their lives a willing sacrifice so that others might enjoy freedom along with the other many noble hearts, I know that Ted and Zach, in that same vein, will fight with all the courage and energy it takes to go up against not only the Democrats, to hell with them, the rhinos in our party, and they will not waver. I know for me, my fifth great-grandfather, Lieutenant Colonel James Terrell of Davidson County 2nd Regiment of the Volunteer Mounted Riflemen in Tennessee. Yes, that's right. I've got Tennessee blood in me. Who killed the last Red Stick Creek standing at the Battle of Horseshoe Bend during the War of 1812. Shortly thereafter wrote to General Andy Jackson and told his old friend that he would meet him at Pensacola and plant his standard in the ground and help Old Hickory to defeat the combined forces of the British, Spaniards, and Creeks at what we now call the Battle of Pensacola in 1814. Our anti-Senates won that battle and drove the enemy out of, and General Jackson's standard was planted by my forefather. And on July 31st, and in the memory of my fifth great-grandfather, as God is my witness, I shall plant the standard of liberty and freedom and conservatism in our battle. And on the 2nd of August, we shall plant our standard of conservatism in Tennessee. Folks, this is the battle of 2012. Are you with me? Let's bring in here my buddy, the field director from Zach's campaign. Melissa, how are you doing, my friend? I'm a little wound up.
I'm doing just fine. A couple of things you told me to be myself, so I'm going to be myself, and I'm going to pronounce my name as Bohannon.
Hey, I'm a typical Texan. I have very poor grammar.
That's okay. And let you know that I'm Zach's campaign manager.
Okay, I stand corrected. Melissa, take it over. I want you to tell us about yourself. Folks, I want to introduce Melissa Bohannon. As she said, she is Zach Poskovich's campaign manager. She's special co-host today. Her and I are doing this gig. And we're going to talk Ted and Zach today. Isn't that correct, Melissa? I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's talk some Zach. Let's hear your thoughts. I've given you mine. Where do you stand?
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be on here. I'll let everybody know I'm very nervous, but that's okay. I am a, first and foremost, I'm a Christian. After that, I'm a wife and I'm a mom, and a homeschool mom at that. A little over a year ago, Mr. Herman Cain announced his run for the presidency, and that was when I got engaged. I was asleep, so the mess that this country is in, I take partial blame for that because I was sitting on the sidelines thinking that, hey, I got a bumper sticker on my car for whoever I'm supporting. That's all I need to do. We can't do that any longer. That is why we are where we are, and we are in the mess we are in. And I've got two kids that are counting on me. I'm not going to go down without a fight. I'm going to stand up, like Zach says, for the right thing. And if we go down, we go down fighting. We've got kids in the next generation that's counting on us to stand up and do the right thing. By the grace of God, we're fighting with our words and our actions and our votes and what we choose to do. We're not worried about bullets as the founders were. But the fight's just as important as it was back then. I don't want to go down as the generation that gave it all away because we were too busy playing our games or too busy watching TV to just let it slip away.
Amen.
So I'm here to fight. I'm really a nobody when it boils down to it. I'm a no one. I'm a high school graduate. That's it. But by the grace of God and through Him, He has given me the ability to do things over the past year that I never dreamed, from being Mr. Cain's state field director in Tennessee to working as the volunteer coordinator for Rick Santorum, and now to be asked by Zach Poskovich, who's running for U.S. Senate, to be his campaign manager. I'm the most unqualified person to do any of those things that I've done. So it is by the grace of God and through Him that I've been able to accomplish anything. But I've took my stand, and I ask other folks to do the same. We can't sit on the sidelines anymore and say, well, this isn't politically correct, or this person in politics won't like me anymore if I don't do what they want me to do, or I like this such and such candidate, but I'm not going to come out and endorse. We can't do that anymore. We're going to keep getting the same garbage in office that we've got right now if we continue to do the same things we have always done. The definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So the time is now, and Zach Poskovich is the man for Tennessee for U.S. Senate. I just spent 2 weeks touring entire East Tennessee with Zach. Me and my kids went with him, and I watched as he spoke with people, and I saw how they respond to him. It is a matter of name ID, and that is it. We need people to talk about him. We need, like you said earlier, people to call into radio shows, to tweet and to post on Facebook, contact whomever, and tell them about Zach. And if you can give $5 to his campaign, please do so. That right there is the one thing that I keep hearing repeatedly from big-name people. They won't come out and endorse until he has a lot of money. Well, if the name ID isn't up, the money's not going to come in. And aside from that, aren't we sick and tired of elected officials buying their office? So, yeah, if anybody can give $5, wonderful. You know, 80,000 people giving $5, I think what Zach said would be $2 million. That's amazing. It's not that much.
Well, I'm giving right now as we speak, actually. I've got Zach for Senate.com up, the donate buttons. I'm working on it. I've got my Barclays card pulled out here, and I'm going to donate a little bit. And, you know, Melissa, where I normally ask people to donate a little to every campaign, we've got a lot of the primaries behind us now. It's time to start choosing. We've got Indiana knocked out with Murdoch. Ted Cruz has got the endorsements. We need to get those endorsements to Zach now. So there's only one campaign that I'm going to – I donated a little bit of money to Ted the other day, but right now I'm doing it to Zach. I'm going to encourage everybody to donate $5 or $10 to Zach now. Let's money bomb Zach for Senate. We need those endorsements. And set the money aside. You know, I'm going to hold Sarah Palin and Herman Cain. You and I were on Herman Cain together, as well as many of the people that are listening, Melissa. I'm going to hold them accountable if that's the case, because they know that Bob Corker is just like Dick Lugar. They know that Bob Corker needs to go. And if they're not willing to step up and do what needs to be done, what they did for my candidate here in Texas, Ted Cruz, then there's a problem, and I've got issues with that. Don't you think that's correct to feel that way?
Yes. Anyone listening, anyone that knows me, knows how much I adore Mr. Cain.
Yeah.
And at this point, I honestly do not understand what has happened in that regard, seeing as Zach is a 999 endorser, and we hear crickets. So I do have a problem with that.
Well, and we're going to, you know what, we're going to, of course, you and I have put together a Twitter campaign, and we've got it going, that involves, among others, Herman Cain. I want to encourage everybody. You need to be calling Cain Connections. You need to be emailing all of them, not just Herman Cain, all of them. We all understand politics. But if they mean what they say about themselves and wanting to change the direction of the establishment Republicans in the Senate, then they will step up and do what they need to do regardless of how much money Zach has. Zach is the Tea Party candidate in Tennessee. And we're gonna have to do what we can do to make them do our bidding, or I'm going to launch a Twitter campaign to dry up their funds. not that I have any. I'm like you, Melissa. I've got 3 years of college. I never did quite finish. Graduated from high school. Spent some time in the service. And I wanted to comment about what you said. By the way, you got every single qualification in the world, Melissa. You're a patriot with a heart of gold that believes and is ready to, is mad and upset as I am and Rick and everybody else, the people we've got on the line, the people that are listening. That makes you more qualified than anybody, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I know where we're headed. I see where we're headed. And again, by the grace of God, He will give me what I need to do, the things He puts before me to do. And I fully see this as His calling for me to step up and fight for the freedom He gave us.
Well, we're fortunate that He did that, because we need you in Tennessee. Let's start bringing on some other people here. By the way, how did you like the intro that I chose today? Give me a T for Texas, give me a T for Tennessee. And what did you think about the editorial?
That was awesome. I love that. That was all right.
Well, let's bring in some other folks here. I've got Brother Schaus. I've got Dave Vance. I've got Kurt, whose last name he said, but I didn't quite catch it. I'm getting old and don't hear so well. And I got our rock star on, Rick Berlow from Red, White, and Blue. By the way, folks, we are being simulcast on Own the Network, Own the Narrative. Justin Kendall got us hooked up because of my buddy Rick Berlow today. I want to thank Rick for that. There's a couple of websites that I'm going to put out periodically. So we've got, first of all, www.changeitback2012.com. Good friend of mine, Sergeant Quintana, over there in Florida, who is a Iraq veteran, who is in this cause with us, as well as WoundedWarriorProject.org. That's WWP.org. You all know I'm a veteran and that I support veterans' causes wholeheartedly, as well as ZachForSenate.com and TedCruz.com. I want to go ahead and bring in here Brother Schaus, and then Dave, stand by. After Dave, Kurt, and then after Kurt, Rick. Brother Schaus, my friend, how are you doing? How's it going up there in Kentucky?
Oh, it's a beautiful, sunshiny day today.
Well, give us your thoughts. Tell us where we stand on everything. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on my editorial, the bumper, what anything Melissa said, anything in general you got, bring it up. Let's get our stuff out on the table, and then we'll start our round table. I do want to encourage everyone to call 718-305-7176 is the call-in number. I do have open lines, and we're going to have a good round table today. Go ahead, Brother Schaus.
Oh, well, we do have a lot of good candidates running this year. Of course, some of them still in the primary process, like Zach and Ted. And we really need to get active and do what we can to get the good people elected in the primary, and then keep on working to get them elected in the general, because sitting on your thumbs ain't getting it done.
No, you're absolutely right. And we've got a big primary in Tennessee. Now, Melissa, that's on the 2nd. When does your early voting start in Tennessee?
July 13th,
which I'm not an early voter. I'm one of those kind of geeks that doesn't particularly care for early voting. I like to make a big deal out of going to the polls on election day, but it works for some people. August 2nd is the big day in Tennessee. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
31st of July here in Texas. Go ahead, Brother Schaus. I just wanted to interject that.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm tweeting for about 19 U.S. Senate candidates. And even Sarge Air that you mentioned, I'm tweeting for him for House. And we're beating some rhinos, and we're getting some good people in office. There's a guy in Maryland, Dan Bongino, he's won his primary, and he's a ex-Secret Service and didn't like the direction the country's going in. And so we need to get a bunch of like-minded individuals in the Senate.
Absolutely.
So Harry Reid is no longer majority leader.
Yeah, we definitely want to get rid of him, that's for sure. Brother Schaus, I'm going to bring in here from Tennessee. I've got a couple of guys on from Tennessee, and Rick's there. Rick, I got you on, but I've got you on mute right at the moment, brother. A little bit of background noise going on over there. Dave, come on. Dave Vance, whereabouts are you from in Tennessee, Dave?
Big Rock.
Big Rock. Dave, do you know Melissa?
Oh, yeah, I know Melissa. And
supporting
Zach.
All right, come
Melissa
on in
does.
Here.
She's
the
done
floor's
a great
yours.
Job. Melissa's done a great job, and she definitely undersells herself. You know, Zach, we definitely need Zach in there. A few things about Corker. Number one, he spent about a year and a half or 2 years going around the country, or at least the state, talking about his deficit reduction plan and how important it was that we reduce the deficit. And we just can't continue to do this. And then what does he do? He votes to raise. He votes to extend the credit card for Barack Obama. It's insanity, absolute insanity. So another thing that Bob Corker has done is he's a big Agenda 21 guy. I don't think he's quite as big as Alexander, but you know, he supported Agenda 21 programs when he was in Chattanooga as the mayor. I happen to know that Zach knows the deal on Agenda 21 and is opposing it. Now, you're not going to get any real help from, you know, if we keep Corker in, like Melissa said, we're doing the same thing. And here's something to think about. If we do, hopefully we do defeat Barack Obama, and hopefully we take the Senate. But even with the President Romney, which is not really all that exciting. It's just that, you know, he will do less damage than Obama. We need somebody. We need conservatives in the Senate. If we don't have conservatives in the Senate, we'll be right back where we're at here in a couple of years, even once we get rid of Obama. So it's important that we have conservatives like Zach in the Senate. Now, I really believe that it's people, if Tennessee, if more people knew they had an option, because what you hear when you talk about this election is, number one, there is the name recognition issue. I think Herman Cain, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, whether they endorse him or not, should at least have him on their show. They should at least have the decency to, hey, here is a challenger to Corker, and let him say his piece. I mean, that's the least they can do if they really want to change things in the Senate. That is the least they can do. And I'm convinced, because when I do talk to people about Corker, the first thing that anybody says, the compliment they pay Corker is, at least he's not as bad as Alexander, which is our other worthless rhino senator from Tennessee.
But, you know, Dave, if I may just real quickly, that scares me to hear you say that people say, well, at least he's not as bad as Lamar Alexander.
I'm curious. That's what I have yet to hear anybody really compliment Corker. Because anybody who follows issues, and any real conservative, I don't mean just Republican hacks, I mean any real conservative, knows that Corker's not a conservative. They know that he doesn't give a rat's butt about the Constitution. They know this. And so they just have to compare him, and they're like, well, he's better than Alexander. I'm convinced if more people knew about Zach, when the time came, even if they just knew a little bit about Zach, they would push the button, because guess what? At least he's not Corker. They would know that this guy, they have an option. That's the big problem, is they don't know they have an option, and they are also convinced that, well, Corker's got too much money. Well, Lugar was outspent 3-1, if I'm not mistaken, and still lost. So we can do it. We just got to get the word out. If the big guys like Levin and Cain and Hannity will just do the decent thing and get Zach on their show, and get the word out, then he will catch on fire here in Tennessee. That's what I believe.
Well, then, Dave, I'm going to pull Kurt in here. We need to work on making that happen. I don't know what that is. But between Melissa and you and Kurt and the Scots and all the great people over at the Zach Pack, we need to – and the great people around this country. I've got conservative networks that I'm affiliated with. We need to figure out how we can make that happen. Let me – Dave, I want to just pull Kurt in here real quick, and then I have a question for the three of you, Melissa, Dave, and Kurt. Kurt, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing terrific. I've got Melissa and Dave on, your brothers and sister from Tennessee there. Dave, the floor is yours. Oh, I'm sorry, Kurt, the floor is yours.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks. Listen, I just got through with 4 days of touring in the 8th Congressional District here in West Tennessee with Zach. And we had, well, actually five, because we had a gig on Monday down in Millington, Tennessee at a Veterans Cemetery observance with a VFW organization down there that was really great. And then we, Wednesday through Saturday, we were touring the 8th District. And it was good. My head's rattling with the things that Melissa and Dave have been saying here. Listen, we got something happening here. This can be done, folks. First of all, let me send out the appeal to everyone, $5, $10, $15, $25, whatever you can send. I know this is not supposed to be about money, but one thing we need some exposure in the major markets, Memphis, Nashville, Clarksville, Louisville, I got out of state there, over in East Tennessee, in Chattanooga and Knoxville. We need some big market exposure there. And the best way to do that is television ads. But anyway, we got something happening. This can be done. We can beat Bob Corker. Because you can't find anybody, I can't find anyone that's got a kind word for him. I had Democrats yesterday that didn't want to talk to me until I made the statement that Zach was running against Bob Corker. And the guy said, let me see that card. We got those little push cards that are specifically designed. They got a cut-off section that you can send in a donation to Zach from that push card. We're spreading those all over. So anyway, I've rattled enough here. We just got to keep up the work, folks. And it's going good. We can do this.
Well, Kurt, you can rattle some more, but let me just put, by the way, my brother Danny Schaus up in Kentucky. Danny, you there?
Yes.
Danny, my brother Danny is going to talk to Senator Rand Paul's office tomorrow, I believe. Is that correct, Brother Schaus?
That's correct.
So we've got people all over this country, Kurt and Melissa and Dave, that are in your corner and going to do. I want to pull in real quick. I want to pull in my buddy Rick, and then I've got a question for Melissa, Dave, and Kurt. Rick, what's going on, my brother?
Not much. How's it going? How's it going with you, Michael?
It's going good. You had some good shows this weekend, I understand. Sorry, I've been really busy. But you know, I donate the time and let you guys fly with it. Give us a little update on Florida, and then, of course, the show's pretty much about Ted. And I know that you're big behind Ted and Zach both. So let me give you a few minutes.
Okay, well, you know, first I have to say thank you for letting me on. And also, I love your opening song.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I thought it was appropriate for the day.
Yeah, it definitely was, and I mean, there's just nothing more to say other than what Melissa, Kurt, and Dave, as well as Danny were saying. I mean, I know down here in Florida, I have a heavy choice of my own, you know, because we have Connie Mack versus George Lemieux going up to unseat Wild Bill Nelson. So we just basically just got to get rid of not only the people, you know, not only those on our side who were supporting Obama, but also the Democrats themselves.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, Rick, let me ask you. You know, I know Danny's going to be working on, Brother Schaus is going to be working on Rand Paul. I'm working on Ted Cruz. Yeah, you think you could do a little bit of work for us down there in Florida with Rubio for Zach?
I can try, and I can also see if Connie Mack can do it as well, because he's my, well, at least up until January 3rd, of 2013, he will be my congressional. He is my congressional representative up until January. So I'll see what I can do with him.
Well, we'd sure appreciate that, my friend. I wanted to ask Melissa and Dave and Kurt. They're in Tennessee. Y'all have been telling. I've been listening to the three of you, and you've been telling me it's name recognition. And obviously, we need to get some endorsements behind Zach. But what is it about the major markets there is the news just not – are they not talking about Zach? I know there's like six candidates running in that primary. That's question number one. Question number two is for your primary on August 2nd, on your sample ballots, what's the order of the candidates? Is it – here in Texas, we do a drawing. The candidates get together, they do a drawing. If you draw number one, you're the first name on the ballot, number two, second name, so on and so forth. That's the fairest that we've figured out how to do it. Is that basically how y'all do it in Tennessee? Any one of y'all answer that.
I have to leave that to Melissa. I'm not sure exactly how that one's done in terms of the ballot. But the name recognition issue is the big problem right now. And like I say, whether any of the big names endorse him right now is not near as important as it is giving him an opportunity. If he gets his word out there, then the money will come. Then they can endorse. That's fine and well. He definitely has to have more money to get his name out there more. But like I said, they could help us with that. I'm not sure. Melissa might know the answer on how they determine where the names are put out on the ballot.
Melissa?
Honestly, I do not know. I can try to find that, but I don't have a clue. I don't know if Kurt knows, but I don't.
Well, and, you know, that's
– but I may be wrong.
I'm sorry. Say again, Kurt?
I'm thinking alphabetically, but I may be wrong.
Okay. And the reason I asked that, because I was kind of a field director here, if you will, for a county commissioner primary during the primary campaign that I was helping with. And in Texas, the way we do it is on our primary ballots, we draw. Say, for instance, in the Senate campaign, Ted Cruz, Dewhurst, Craig James, Leppard, you know, all the various guys, they drew a number. Whoever got one was the top name on the ballot, 2, 3, 4, 5, so on and so forth. The reason I asked that is because last Tuesday, when I was an elections judge here in our precinct, where we combine 7 precincts in our polling location, and it was me and 4 other people. I was one of the election judges. And at the end, when we were counting ballots, I, obviously saw the ballots. And I noticed that the vast majority of the top line was on the various competitions was marked. Now, I don't believe that is because that's necessarily who those people just wanted to vote for. I believe it's because it was just the top name on the ballot. People go in and, you've got someone running for district judge and there's one person, and you've got someone running for railroad commissioner, there's 2 people, they're going to vote the top name. You got someone voting for U.S. senator, they're going to vote, but they don't know anything about it, they're going to vote the top name. And that goes to what Kurt was saying about name recognition. If the last name a person hears walking into that polling place is Zach Poskovich and he's the 4th person on that ballot, then that's more than likely the name that they're gonna mark on that ballot. What do you guys think about that?
Well, that's possible. Hey, I really like your T for Texas Tennessee deal, and I think that's something that you can work with. We need a T for Texas Tennessee Express. Get that going across the country, make a little bumper song, whatever. I think that's a good intro and might get some interest.
I'll work on that. I've already got the basis of it's going. I've got a phone call here I want to pull in real quick. By the way, guys, it's just me on here today, so I'm handling the studio board by myself. So if we should get a phone call and something rude should come across it, I'll disconnect it quickly, but just I want to give the upfront apology for it. So, who's at 931?
66.
I've got 9316. The last 4 is 6622.
2622, be me, Bing.
Bing? Hey, Bing, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm having a call on my cell phone. I have to keep it in one place or I might ditch you. But...
Bing, we've all from Melissa and co-host today, Dave and Kurt. Let's do a few minutes. You're there in Tennessee. What do you have to say? The floor is yours.
Well, I met him. I wasn't for sure until I met him. I'm like, okay. This is it for me. Vaccine kind of guy. I don't get a lot of exposure and I don't get a lot of publicity and I don't want it, But having run a few boards and so on, as Kurt can tell you and Melissa, we got the internet presence. We just need to utilize it. I don't think we're utilizing it to the extreme that we could. And I think, that's just what we have to do. And we have to get up and we have to get ground or feet, boots on the ground, I guess, and just get them out there and get them campaigning.
Well, yeah, and social media is a big part of it. That's part of the reason for my push on the Twitter. I think Twitter is – I've seen it happen firsthand. Now, granted, it was at the presidential election level, but – Twitter is really good at getting name ID up. Now, of course, it's going to take a lot more than that. I know for myself, and I'm not bragging, but just to motivate the other y'all's compadres in Tennessee, from Texas, I've already launched three editors to the Nashville Tennessean, and I can't remember. I have to pull up my email. Two other newspapers, one in Knoxville and one in Chattanooga, I believe. Letters to the editor pushing Zach. That could go a long way. You'd be surprised how many people read those letters to the editor. If we can get a letter to the editor campaign launched and get people, you know, it's generally about a 250-word max. I've put something kind of a basis to work from on the Zach Pack Facebook website to work with. You can rearrange it, but if we can get a letter every day in the letter to the editor section of the five major newspapers throughout Tennessee, I think that might help in going to get his name recognition up. I believe, being that you and Melissa and Dave and Kurt would all agree, we also need to come up with another way to get someone like Sean Hannity to get Zach on his program. My brain's going to be on that all night long. We have got to figure out something to get him out there. Let's go back up to Melissa. I want to get back to Melissa for a few minutes. Melissa, jump in here. Tell us any thoughts you're having.
Things are racing through my head here. One, the issue we're dealing with the media is just the fact that they are ignoring. I mean, we have, you know, it's sent out press release after press release, and they ignore them. Now, granted, we don't have anyone that is dedicated to the communications department. I'm doing all that I can in that regard also. But you would think they would at least put out, you know, the things we're sending, but they won't. They don't want to do that. They don't want to interview him. We have, you know, contacted radio shows locally. They're not willing to interview him. It's just the ignoring by the media. So that to me says the folks need to make noise about Zach. And yeah, the campaign can constantly contact the media and X, Y, and Z, but they have proven they're going to ignore that. What we need is a citizen uprising where more than, you know, someone, you know, folks outside of the campaign are contacting these media outlets and saying, look, you need to talk to this person. You need to find out about Zach. We, you know, let them know they want to hear more about Zach Poskovich. Because, again, the media is going to ignore him. And I'm even talking about conservative, local conservative talk shows. They are ignoring him. And I will tell you why. I know exactly why. They are afraid of Bob Corker. Afraid the man will win, and they are afraid of what he will do as a senator. To me, that screams the man needs to go.
See, what bothers me about that, Melissa, is the fact that we have a similar – now, granted, David Dewhurst is not a sitting U.S. senator. But he's a sitting lieutenant governor, and the man's got millions of dollars. He is the same thing as Bob Corker. He's just not a sitting U.S. senator. Yet we have people in the very thing that we all gave birth to that are willing to stand against David Dewhurst, yet we can't get these same people to stand against Bob Corker. It's not coming together for me in my brain. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I'm just stunned. Maybe I'm just too simple to be that afraid of Bob Corker, but I don't know when, where, and how he became so powerful that he's got folks in this state so scared of him. Now, I know he's a big Agenda 21 guy, and I know he's on the, you know, it's on formulate and all that. So I just don't get it. I don't understand why folks are so afraid of it. And I'm talking about on up to the big name conservatives. if they're afraid of him, why? I mean,
Melissa,
and do you want to live your life that way, being afraid of him?
I have something I'd like to interject, if I could.
Yeah.
I did send a list of some of Bob Corker's boats, one of his worst boats, not all of them, but I only had so much time, so I sent that to Mark Levin. I haven't heard anything back from him, but Melissa, does Herman Cain, has he seen the boats that Bob Corker's cast? Is he familiar with what Corker's all about? Because to me, that's the deal. If you get his boating record out in the public, and a lot of Tennesseans know it, a lot don't. Some don't know really how bad it is. But I think if we could get that to these people outside of Tennessee, these big names, and then it becomes an issue, then the people in Tennessee, these different news, these different talk shows and whatnot, might be a little more interested. But you got to remember, too, we do have the rhino establishment in Tennessee is strong. You got Corker, Alexander. You've got a former governor still has a lot of influence, and then you've got, of course, our current rhino governor. So you're fighting; they're firmly entrenched. So that's part of what we're up against. But yeah, I think getting Bob Corker's record out in print to as many outlets as possible is one of the things we need to do too.
Well, Dave, let me jump in here real quick, and Melissa, Brother Shouse, Dave, Bing, Rick. Kurt, Dave just gave us a great segue into something that that I want to play real quick. It's going to take about 4 or 5 minutes, so you guys just stand by. I'm going to put you all on mute for just a minute so that there's no background interference. But speaking of Mark Levin, Dave, I want to take about 4 or 5 minutes, and I want us all to listen to this. And while we're listening to it, I want us all to think about, maybe this needs to be the first person that everybody is concentrating their emails and requests on, because we already know that Mark Levin does not like Bob Corker, and here's my proof of that right here.
Now, I've talked about Lindsey Graham in the past, and I'm not talking about him right now. We already know he's a loser. We already know he can't be counted on. We already know he thinks this is a big game. But there's a so-called moderate Republican from Tennessee who bought his seat and defeated two conservatives in a primary. Ed Bryant, among one of them, a former congressman, former U.S. attorney, and Van Hillary. And his name is Bob Corker. Bob Corker of Tennessee. A multimillionaire who made his fortune in construction and real estate and sold before the bubble burst. Bought his way into the United States Senate by buying his way into the primary. Former mayor, Chattanooga. And he's always wanting to negotiate and cut deals. Now, I'm reading here from the Nashville Business Journal. And it says, U.S. Senator Bob Corker said Wednesday that Republican efforts to repeal sweeping health care reform are futile for some of you, and instead promoted incremental fixes in a wide-ranging talk in Nashville. In the immediate aftermath of the reform's passage, many of Corker's Republican colleagues, including 2008 presidential contender John McCain, had pledged to repeal the legislation. Corker described that as unlikely, given the reality of needing 67 votes in the Senate to overcome a presidential veto of repeal legislation. Fact is, that's not going to happen, okay? He told dozens of people at Vanderbilt. Still, Corker made clear his opposition to the legislation, spoke in favor of continued incremental legislative reform in future years to correct problems he foresees. He criticized the legislation as costly, however, doubting that changes to Medicare, for instance, would yield savings to make blah, blah, blah. The guy's already surrendered. Now, of course, you would need a veto-proof Senate to flat-out repeal this law. I've said this myself. However, I've also said that if we can take the House, we control the power of the purse. And we can starve this monstrosity of the resources it needs to be implemented. Because you need tens of thousands of bureaucrats, including 16,500 new IRS agents and auditors. We'll deny them to them. You need to fund these different departments and agencies so they can institute this monstrosity. Well, deny it to them. Corker? It's not enough anymore to talk about dancing on the edges. We've seen too much of this from Republicans. This is why I say, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a Republican primary going on where you live, find out who the conservative is and vote for the conservative. Ignore the media.
Well, and from the rest of the point on, he basically he goes into a general rant, as Brother Levin is apt to do. But I want to go ahead and pull back in here, Melissa and Dave and Bing and Kurt. excuse me, Brother Berlow and Brother South, stand by, please. So there you go. That's Mark Levin. Mark Levin does not apparently like Bob Corker. Could this be the key to getting what we need to get done in the way of endorsements and getting some names out there? And what is it going to take? Is it just going to take a continual email and letter campaign to Mark Levin to get this done? I mean, he doesn't like Bob Corker. Let's start with Melissa.
Already did that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling folks to do, especially after this past Wednesday's show when Mark Levin named Bob Corker again as a rhino when he came out and said that he would raise taxes. So, yeah, that's one key individual that if we can get him on board, he is the one individual with a backbone who will call it like he sees it. And it is a matter of getting enough people to get Mark Levin's attention to where he or a representative from his show will give me a call and want to talk to Zach. Because, yeah, I think one time on Mark Levin's show would be amazing. It would be huge.
Yep.
Dave, go ahead and jump in, then Bing, and then Kurt.
Well, hey, Melissa, like I said, she already sent us this earlier in the week, and so that's the reason I sent the email to Mark. And I basically laid out some of Corker's record and, you know, talked about Zach. Haven't heard anything back. Granted, he's a busy guy, gets probably millions of emails. But, yeah, I think a sustained campaign to Mark Levin, let him know that there is a conservative challenger, and here's what he can do to help. You probably know people that have better connections than us, although – Melissa, I would think Herman could at least make this phone call for us here's a conservative challenger you were asking about. Now, what will you do to help him?
Absolutely, Dave. Well, and Kurt, Bing had to drop. Kurt, before I bring you on real quick, folks, got a pen and a paper ready. This is Mark Levin's phone number because I try to call all the time. I've gotten through and gotten on hold, but I always end up getting dropped because it seems to be the end of the show. 877-381-3811. Again, that's 877-381-3811. One more time. 877-381-3811. Let's start a calling campaign. Let's start an email campaign. We've already got a Twitter campaign that goes to Mark Levin asking why he's not endorsed Zach. And let's do what Dave and Melissa and Kurt are talking about. And I think I've got Kurt back on the line. Kurt, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. And let's work on... Because I believe that Mark, Melissa, I agree with you. I believe that Mark is the key here to getting the ball rolling in the direction we need to get it rolling. We already know he dislikes Bob Corker. So Mark has to make a choice between the five other candidates that are in the primary challenge against Bob Corker. If Mark is the person he claims to be and truly cares about someone like David Dewhurst not getting in or someone like Dick Lugar being fired, then he needs to come down on the side of somebody in Tennessee. Maybe we just need to push him over the edge to do that. Kurt, what do you think about that?
I like the idea of trying to get in touch with Mark Levin, and I've been making notes while you were talking. I hear a lot of people on our Traditional American Movement website who may have a connection to Mark Levin. I know he's got a lot of fans on there. I'm going to push that angle with Bing and Fred and the rest, and then I'm going to start poking around in the neighborhood here and see if I can find anybody. And I'm going to do it myself. I don't know. I kind of have a way on the telephone sometimes. There's a story that's too long to tell, but they wouldn't let me have an interview with our former congressman over here in Tennessee, whose name escapes me at the moment. Stephen Fincher took his place. Who was it, Dave?
Tanner? Yeah. I don't know. They're so much alike.
John Tanner. Anyway, when the dust settled, I had an appointment to talk with John Tanner. So I'm going to try to exercise my whatever you want to call it here and see what I can do on this. But, yes, you know, and we need to push this idea of getting to Mark Levin. And also something else popped in my mind a while ago. This moves ahead towards Election Day itself. In Tennessee, there is a law that says you cannot have any campaign signs within 100 feet of the polling place entrance. I have a 4x8 Zach sign on the back of my truck, and you may rest assured that it will be parked 101 feet away from the door of the polling place that I work. So,
Kurt, we have the same rule in Texas, and in fact, on Tuesday last week, I went out and measured, because I'm one of the judges is required to go out and measure and plant a sign that says from this point forward there can be no campaigning. I planted that sign, and I already knew what that distance was, and for the campaigns that I was supporting, like Ted Cruz and Matt Krause and Craig Beakley, the various campaigns, I had my signs for my guys right there at that 100.1-inch distance. And I also had people out. I don't know if y'all do it in Tennessee, but for each precinct, and this is something that we worked on diligently here, and it paid off in 4 out of 5 campaigns. Our GOP sends out sample ballots for each precinct, because each precinct's going to have various candidates on it, depending on who's running locally. So for my precinct, 3043, I had walked the neighborhood and put a sample ballot highlighted with all of the Tea Party candidates that I was supporting in my precinct. And you wouldn't believe how many people I saw walk into the voting booth from 3043 with that ballot in their hand, as well as the other precincts that came in to vote at the same that were my counterparts in the other precincts that had done the same thing. So that does work, and it has a lot of value. Real quickly, guys, just I need to bring in, we've got someone here waiting at area code 904. Who is this?
Hi, this is Greg.
Greg from?
Keystone Heights, Florida.
Oh, hey, Greg from Florida. What's going on today?
Well, I thanks to Bing, a big shout out for giving me your web address for your radio show here. And I'm friends with Kurt and Melissa from Traditional American as well. Just like to throw my 2 cents worth in here. I'm having a hard time getting on your chat room here. But in regards to Mark Levin, he is a friend of mine. And I'm going to make a suggestion not to call the show, because you're just going to upset Mike, his call screener, tying up the lines.
Okay.
But do, in fact, email information on Zach to his web address, and I will follow up with Kurt and Bing, get some information, and send it to Mark personally. If you listen to his show, ask for a Levin surge. That's what he calls it. But he's also has said many times that he can't, quote-unquote, endorse every single person or take the time on his show, if you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely, Greg. Greg, can I ask you a question, though? Because
yes, sir.
I want to thank you for everything you can do for Zach. I'm in Texas. I'm a Ted Cruz campaign worker. Melissa and now Dave and Kurt, and I've known Bing and Melissa for a while. Dave and Kurt are new to my list of people that I'm getting to know. But I support Zach. This goes back to our Team Kane days. I'm a loyal Levin listener. And, Greg, let me ask you. In my mind, Greg came out and supported Ted Cruz because he didn't want Dewhurst to get in there. The same with Murdoch over Luger. I'm trying to quantify how to ask this of you. Why would Mark, and I understand he can't endorse everybody, but he obviously doesn't like Bob Corker. We know the importance of getting rid of Bob Corker. Why would this not be a race that Mark would not be as vocal as he's been on it? Why would it not be a race that he would pick somebody in that race that's running against Corker, the Porker?
Well, I can't speak for him.
Right.
In my mind, it would only be the numbers of requests that he might receive. Now, in a race such as this, and I also have been listening, I understand the name recognition, but it also has to be the message, you know, and even for the voters. You know, Zach's going to have to get his message out, especially if he's in a five-way race. And I would suggest, you know, the local talk radio shows, because that's where the people like us that are, you know, political junkies, if I may, that follow it, that's where they're going to get their information from, that and the internet and so forth. It's not going to be, you know, from local news coverage per se, unless there's something where they're at a polling place where they can cause a distraction, per se, for them, an attraction by causing a distraction, if you know what I mean.
I understand exactly what you're saying. Melissa, in the Tennessee area, in the major markets, the Nashville market, I'm guessing, the Knoxville market, the Memphis market, in the Metroplex here, we've got a guy by the name of Mark Davis, who is actually Cumulus Let Go, but he will be back on starting Monday morning on 660 AM K-Sky. I've listened to the guy for 18 years. He fills in for Rush Limbaugh. Y'all are probably familiar with him, Mark Davis. Who in y'all's neck of the wood is your Mark Davis?
Phil Valentine. What?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You've got Phil Valentine, you've got Steve Gill, and then up more east, you've got Haller and Hilton Hill.
Where are these guys standing on the Senate race in Tennessee?
Quiet as a mouse. Yeah, they're Bob Corker's good enough.
No way. And
these
are conservative talk show hosts?
Phil Valentine, so.
Okay. I'm going to, Melissa, if you could put these guys' names on the Zach Pack Facebook so I could look them up and find their phone numbers. Do we need to start a call-in campaign to these local radio show hosts as well?
Yeah, therein lies another issue. I have been begging folks for weeks to do these things, to contact local, to contact national, the whole nine yards. Folks have bought into the garbage they're hearing that Bob Corker's $12 million can't be beat, and they're giving up the battle already. They are doing the self-fulfilling prophecy of letting his $12 million win.
Come on,
Tennessee. Not even trying.
Come on, Tennessee. We ain't going to do that. I've got blood in Tennessee. We're fighting that, and I'm not speaking to you, Melissa. I'm talking to our brothers and sisters in Tennessee. We ain't going to let this happen. We're fighting the same battle here in Texas with Dewhurst, with his $9 million of personal money that he sunk into this. Ted Cruz is doing this the same way that Zach Postovich is going to have to do this. It's going to have to be us. Come on, guys. If you're listening to me, and you're listening to Melissa, and you're listening to Brother Shouse, and you're listening to Brother Vance, and Brother Burlow, and Brother Bing, and Brother Kurt, and Brother Greg, you got to get up off your butt. You got to write some letters to the editor. You got to call into these guys that have the local radio shows. We've got to make the effort. This is what the Tea Party's about. Dave, let me bring you in here. Help me out. I'm getting a little upset.
Well, yeah, it's a challenge to get people to do things. Or did you say Greg? I'm sorry.
Either one, any of you.
Well, it is a challenge to get people to do these things. And I know we're all swamped. Those of us who are in different tea parties, we've got three or four things going on at a time. So I'm not able to spend the time I'd like to help, as a matter of fact. But I do believe that, you know, I think it was Greg that said that, you know, Zach's campaign, you know, he has to get his message out over the other opponents. The thing is, I would say that the other opponents, with the exception of Brenda Leonard, who made some negative news lately, I won't go into, they're even less well known than Zach. And I think Melissa hit it on the head. They see Bob Corker, they see $12 million, they say nobody has a chance, and they just, well, you know, they pretty much surrendered. But I do believe that some input from outside of the state, and I said this about a month ago, I don't remember if I was talking to Melissa or if I was talking to Kurt, I said about a month ago, something from outside of the state. You know, we may have to make this campaign national before it really catches on in the state. And I know that seems backwards, but I believe that's kind of where we're at.
No, absolutely, Dave. Actually, you're absolutely right. That's how Murdoch probably beat Lugar, is the campaign, and that's how Cruz is doing so well against Dewhurst. We've got to make this thing national. This is Tennessee. Folks, this is the volunteer state. Had it not been for Tennessee volunteers, we would have lost the Revolutionary War at Kings Mountain.
Yeah.
Kurt, what do you say about this?
Remember the Alamo.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Something. You know, there was a lot of people, name recognition and money don't mean nothing to me. They really don't. What?
I'm sorry, guys. Someone was calling me. I thought it might be an important phone call. Go ahead.
Name recognition. Look, name recognition is hurting Bob Corker, okay? And his money is hurting him, too, because we know he's getting it from J.P. and all the lobbyists and all that kind of stuff. So we need to capitalize on that, too. I don't care about name recognition. I just watched it. Stooges, and they died poor.
I was going to say, Greg, I just read an article day before yesterday. Number one donator to the Bob Corker campaign, J.P. Morgan State for 2012.
Wow. Yeah. And one thing people need to realize, in the last couple of weeks or so, Bob Corker came out and said he's not even campaigning in the primary. He thinks this is his birthright to be reelected. He's not even going to campaign. And he has repeatedly ignored requests to debate Zach. He has ignored requests to attend town hall meetings, to come and to do any of these things. He has completely ignored any and all of it. He won't even engage.
Hey, Melissa, what about the thought of doing a show where we take Corker on his votes, some of the key bad votes, which most of his key votes are bad, and if we can find clips from what he has said about those votes, we can transpose that, and then we can ask Zach the question on how he would vote on that or why that was a bad vote. He won't come into a debate. Let's just have a debate without him, using his vote and using his words and speeches on it all that already exist. Put a little clip together.
That may be what we end up having to do.
Hey, guys, I want to jump in here real quick. First of all, before I bring on Nick, Melissa, I've got one of your county chairs on for Zach, Nikki Bacchus. But I wanted, as I was going into screening mode, which means I can't hear anything to take that phone call, with what I was hearing, it reminded me of something here in Texas that we're doing. We've challenged, and Ted just accepted a Tea Party debate. Dewhurst has not accepted any of the debate challenges. Is that an angle we can take with Corker in Tennessee and get the Tea Party to coordinate some debates and see where whether or not Corker accepts or not.
Well, yeah, that's what I had said, is so far he has refused to come to any debates that people are asking him to come to. So, yes, if we could get a debate in Tennessee, that would be amazing.
Okay,
we could get it to happen.
Question number two, Melissa, and then guys, I wanna bring in Nikki. Question number two: when we get the debate set up, can we see about having Zach show up and have a chair there with Corker's name on it, and say this is where Bob Corker would be if he'd show up to the frickin' debate?
Absolutely.
Well, then I think we need to work on that. Melissa, I want to bring in someone that's working for you, Nikki Bacchus. Nikki, come on in here.
Hi.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Melissa. I've really enjoyed the conversation. I just wanted to reiterate a couple of things that I've heard and maybe throw around a couple of the issues that I've had or run into. Mostly I've run into nothing but good. I talk to people, lots of people, almost every day, and I'm working the VFW, Chamber of Commerce, and things like that. And I get very, very positive response. I mean, people typically, oh, my God, I'm so glad somebody's running against Bob. And when I ask for money or ask for help, they all run for the hills out of fear. Businesses are terrified of the Democrats, and anybody else running for the hills is terrified of Bob Corker. Now, I personally don't know what the man has done to scare everybody off, but I just find it very interesting and almost laughable if it wasn't so sad. So what I really want to push here is the national media. I work real hard. I'm on hold for Mark Levin most every night of the week. I've also made, I don't know how many calls. Zach asked me many, 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 many months ago to start calling radio stations, which I did. Got a few interviews. And after a while, that has just died out. And the other morning, I sat here and listened to Bob Corker on Steve Gill. And it just made me kind of sick because, first of all, he didn't tell anything that was the truth. They certainly got into no issues that would be controversial. And yet we can't seem to get Zach on there. And mostly I'm getting into the producers, I'm getting put on hold, and I'm getting brushed off. So it really does have to go national. I can't imagine Mark Levin, after spilling his guts on Bob Corker, not jumping in on this if we're pushing hard enough.
Well,
then again,
and Nikki,
we might make him mad.
I think you've got a good point, Nikki. And I want to ask, I've still got Brother Schaus and Brother Burlow on from Kentucky and Florida, respectively, as well as Greg from Florida, but I take it who has got some ties to Tennessee. And I want to ask all of you, Melissa, Dan, Bing, Nikki, Kurt, and Greg, this is my question. And I don't know about all of y'all, but I know some of us are old Team Kane people. We know one another from Team Kane last summer. I want you to think back to the Mark Block ad that took us national, when Mark Block threw the cigarette smoke into the camera. All right? I want you to think to that. We've got to do something drastic that's going to make news. I'm not saying it needs to be that. What can we do? What can we think of? And maybe we don't answer that question today. Maybe we sleep on it tonight and think about it for a couple of days. What do we do to make Zach go national in those respects? Melissa, let's start with you.
Oh, wow. I had already brought up the smoking ad with Mr. Block in a blog post that I'm pertaining to me. I have racked my brain. I have thought of ideas. You know, Scott Whiting, who is our Hamlin County chair for Zach, he and I had kicked around the thought of, like, the theme from Rocky and Zach running up the Capitol State. You know, anything that would go viral on YouTube, you know, those kind of things. I'm at a loss as far as right off the top of my head, other than things like that, other than mounting these campaigns of letter writing and stuff like that. Plus, We need boots on the ground here. We need help here from the folks in Tennessee willing to get out there and sign wave, willing to sign up and say, yeah, I'll take this county. You know, when individuals are doing like five different jobs themselves, you know, one, they're worn out, and two, things can't get done effectively. Things are going to go under the radar that don't need to be. So we need folks who will step up and help do the day-to-day campaigning things. The entire campaign, there is not a soul being paid a dime to do anything for this campaign. So
and that's the best kind of campaign.
Help. We need folks who will step up and do stuff.
Well, I tell you, guys, we're coming down to about the last 30 minutes or so of the show. Let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start. Let's round table the end of the show here. We got about, actually, we've only got about 15 or 20 minutes. Then I need to end with my closing remarks. So, Brother Shouse, I'm going to pull you in here, give you a couple of minutes. Dave, you're on deck. And, guys, everybody else, hang tight. You're on deck. I'll let you know when you're on deck. So, Brother Shouse, Dave, you're on deck. Go ahead, Brother Shouse.
On that debate, on the chair, say Corker's not here, he shouldn't be in D.C. either.
I like that. Well, we're going to work. Like hey, Brother Shouse, by the way, this is my brother, Danny Shouse. Brother Shouse and I are, look, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I am a very proud Freemason. Brother Shouse is my brother in those regards. The go-to shines his life on us every single day. Brother Shouse, I want to thank you for everything you do, and I want to thank you for stepping up and calling Senator Paul Lamar up there in Kentucky. We need every ounce of help we can get here in Tennessee. Bob Corker is just as important getting rid of as Dick Lugar was in Indiana. Brother Shouse, I want to give you a few more minutes.
Absolutely.
Then we'll move on to Brother Vance.
Okay, and Melissa, I think if you contact the Mark Levin Show and ask for an interview, he'll give it.
I don't have a specific number other than the call-in number, but I have emailed them and, you know, asked, you know, for someone to contact me to find, you know, any number of things. I've not heard back. I'm sure his email inbox is full, so.
Yeah.
And I think Greg's going to help us in that respect. Brother Vance, come on in here. Take a few minutes with some closing remarks.
Back to your idea about a commercial similar to the smoking commercial for the cane. Yeah, I think that's great as far as, you know, getting the national attention or the state attention, however we do it. I think we can come up with something on that. Me and Kurt had talked about that a while back, and we had a few ideas. And I think we interject in Corker's record with that, and maybe even what Mr. Shout said a minute ago about you know, Bob Corker's not here and he shouldn't be in D.C. I like that line. I think we can get some mileage out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we could come up with a commercial, and if we can find a way to fund it, that'd be great.
Well, we've all got a meeting place on the Zach Pack on Facebook. We're going to roundtable this, Dave. I want to thank you for all of your input today. Stand by. Brother Burlow, what say you?
You know, I mean, I think that this is wonderful. And for Melissa, Dave, and Kurt, if you do something like that, I also have an idea. Maybe you could also put it, you know, just posit it on my radio show as well. You know, because I want to do whatever I can to help out.
Absolutely. And Rick's got a great radio show, Red, White, and Blue. He's the rock star of Conservative Nation radio shows. He's got great listenership. So we may need to see about getting Zach on there as well.
Yeah.
Brother
and
Bing.
Another show that I was thinking of is if you know, maybe if Zach's a night owl, maybe he can he could come on to either TBTV or the Contingency Show on ownthenarrative.com.
Okay, well, that's something we'll work on. Rick, you are in contact with Melissa, are you not?
I think I am, yeah.
On Facebook? Yes. Okay. Okay, great. Brother Bing, let me bring you in here. Take 3-4 minutes, whatever you need. Spill your guts.
Oh, I don't need that long. I just think social media, just get the word out. We need boots on the ground. I also, if the media won't come to us, then we need to go to the media.
Amen.
So I'm going to start up a Ustream. Well, I already started it up. It's been a work in progress. I've been wanting to do for a long time, for Tradam anyways. But I'll go ahead and set that up, and we'll get some interviews here next week. And also, there's a site called the Conservative Site. There's the music site. They're called BigDogMusicMafia.com, all one word. And they're great people over there. Lisa Mee, Mae Norton. I don't know if you know her. She was in Gibson and all that stuff when all that Gibson stuff was coming down. We need to hit these sites, and we also need to use Tradam for our advantage too, because we can springboard a lot of things off Tradam. We've got very good marketing. We've got, you know, very good stats. So, you know, use social media. I mean, I go on sites and I put in, instead of my username, like, you know, Bang or whatever, I'll put in my email name. And that shows up on sites that link to their site. So there's all sorts of little tips and tricks and that kind of thing that you can do. And, you know, we just have to get boots on the ground, and we also have to do social media business. And Osborne and his post up there, which, you know, I love the guy. The thing is that, look, these people don't realize what power we have as people. I don't think they realize.
Well, I think you're right, Bing. I don't think that I think Bob Corker and Dave Dewhurst and the establishment GOP doesn't realize the voice and the power that we have as Tea Party conservatives and grassroots conservatives. And I think we can pull this thing out in Tennessee. Bing, thanks. Stand by, buddy. Nikki, I'm going to bring you in here. Take what time you need. We've got a little bit of time. I want to give you the floor to wrap up.
Well, I like what was just said. I just really believe that not only is it possible, I think it's very probable to take this state. We're watching one state after another fall. I mean, I feel like a girl at a slumber party with each passing primary that goes on. It's so exciting. Boots on the ground, boots on the ground, boots on the ground. We really need boots on the ground. And Melissa and Bing, Melissa knows, had to give me yet another computer lesson today. The most illiterate human being when it comes to computer. I'm so proud of myself for even getting on here. So it's a lot of people like me. I'm not the only one, and we need more boots on the ground. And the begging isn't getting me very far. I'm willing to do more than I could possibly do, probably, but it's boots on the ground. This is so possible. It's so possible. I don't even like the word probable. It is absolutely likely that we can win this thing. We have got to get some national attention and more boots on the ground. That's it.
Nikki, I like your attitude. You know what? I have no shame. I will get down on my knees and beg. I'm on my knees begging everybody right now. Send Zach Poskovich $5. Go to www.zachforsenate.com. $5. That's all I'm asking, friends. $5. We've got to get rid of Bob Corker. Nikki, stand by. Kurt, I want to bring you in, give you the floor. Take what time you need, sir. Greg, you're on deck.
I'll make this pretty quick there. First, I want to say hi to a friend up in New York, Kyle the Wild Man Becker. I see you on chat there floating along. I'm not on chat, Kyle, but anyway, hey, from the radio. Anyway, on the campaign that we've been talking about here, the kind of the new thing that we're going to try to do, everybody tell me what you think about it. We named this the Uncorker Campaign. You can chew on it and decide what you think about it. Just simply call it the Uncorker Campaign. And I like that, you know, the commercial or whatever you want to call it, the YouTube. And we can, I think, use Corker's famous saying, when we need to get somebody that can do it well, you got to go along to get along. We need to throw that back in his face. Okay?
Which is actually an old Sam Rayburn saying. Sam Rayburn used to be the Speaker of the House back when Lyndon Johnson was president, Kurt. And that was a different Democratic Party, but you're absolutely right, Kurt. Stand by, buddy, and then we're gonna I'm gonna open up the lines, and we're gonna have one final go around before we close this show up. Kurt or Greg, I'm gonna give you the last couple of minutes, and then we're gonna open up the lines.
Very good, thank you. Going back, this is going back years. It's actually taking a page out of the Left's playbook. Blue Bell's my favorite ice cream, but I grew up across the lake from Burlington, Vermont, in Ben and Jerry's when they were starting out.
Well, hang on. Greg. Go ahead.
This ties in. They went head-to-head with Pillsbury, who owns Häagen-Dazs ice cream, closing down the Boston markets to Ben and Jerry's. They came up with a very simple slogan. What's the doughboy afraid of? So for these incumbents that will not engage in a debate, postcards, or placards, T-shirts, bumper stickers. Zach asked, what's Corker afraid of?
I love
and
it.
Just, that's it. What do you mean, what's he afraid of? Well, this is our candidate, da-da-da-da. This is what he stands for. But Bob Corker, who's been in there for however many years, matter of fact, he spent so much time in Washington, D.C., he won't even come home for a debate to meet and talk to the people.
No, there you go.
You know, just reverse it on them, and eventually they're going to have to step up to the plate. You know, all these guys. And if I may, a shameless plug, last weekend was Memorial Day weekend. I lost my oldest son in Iraq 9 years ago.
Oh.
And if I could, I'd like you all to visit Lest, L-E-S-T, Lest They Be Forgotten, .org and .com. You can see a flag that I designed, and you can see the memorials that we've been able to put up, over 40 so far. And thank you all for the support.
Hey, Greg.
I'll do what I can on my end.
Greg, first of all, Lest They Be Forgotten.
Yes, it's some L-E-S-T, They Be Forgotten. I have the .org. You can see a picture of, I believe, the memorial we have up right now is one in Michigan. But they're all the basic design. I designed it the night of my son's funeral. Came to me. And the .com side is the flag that I designed. And if any of you guys are bikers, I also have them in the 2-inch by 3-inch patches, and that's how we fund the memorial project.
Well, there's no shameless plugs on my show, and I'm a veteran, and I support all veterans' causes. Well, Greg, what was your son's name?
Justin. He was a sergeant with the 101st Airborne. And, a true American patriot. He joined the Vermont National Guard as a junior in high school. And a year and a half before 9/11, he purchased his own airplane ticket, flew directly to the Pentagon, and tried to go to Ranger school, directly to Rangers. There were no openings. They said, if you go to the 101st, you're in. So he did. And honestly, the only time I ever heard him cuss, I mean, a real cuss word, was over missing Ranger School twice due to deployments.
Well, one of the first. I cuss like an airborne grunt myself. This show's dedicated to Justin, folks, and
all of them.
What's his last name?
Garvey, G-A-R-V-E-Y.
The show's dedicated to him today. Thank you so much, Greg, for letting me know about that. That's a cause I'll be supporting.
Thank you.
I'm gonna open up the lines real quick, and I just want to start at the top and give you guys. I want you guys to take. I want you guys to take about 15 seconds. Follow up, Melissa.
Okay. Well, I just want to thank you very much for what you've done, for having us on the show here, and for all the work that you've done, especially in the last 24 hours. It's been amazing. I want to thank everybody who's tuned in to the show and called in. Appreciate you guys so much. The folks that have called in that are working on Zach's campaign, those guys are the ones that are keeping the campaign going. Were it not for them, the campaign would have ended a long time ago. And I thank each and every one of them for all they're doing.
and thank you very much for having me on the show, and thank you for doing this.
Melissa, thank you for co-hosting with me today. Stand by. It's been an honor working with you, and we're gonna work our butts off on this, okay? Brother Shouse, 15 seconds, my brother.
Okay, sounds like we need to let prosperity flow and uncork the Senate.
There you go, Brother Shouse. David Vance, 15 seconds.
Yeah, it's time to pop the corker. I'd like to thank you for letting us on here today and helping us out with this. And to Greg down in Florida, hey, I'm 101st guy. I was there in 03 and in 05 and 06. So your son, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. We're thinking about you, and we've lost a lot. I lost a brother in Afghanistan in 02, so I've seen what it did to my parents or to my mom, and I understand that. But I may have even served with him. I don't recognize the name. But anyway, we appreciate you, and we'll just go back to work and see what we can do about saving this country.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Dave. And oorah, 82nd Airborne, 82 to 88 here. Rick, 15 seconds.
I think our mission is to cruise into the Senate and let's get the quirk out.
All right, buddy. Brother Bing, 15 seconds.
I'm here for Zach, man. Whatever I can do, I'll try.
All right, brother, I appreciate it. Sister Nikki.
I, too, appreciate your son, Justin. I'm kind of choked up. I hate to hear stories like that, but I will go to your website, and I really do appreciate your service. Thank you. I'm a big DFW supporter, and I've been working hard to find a couple of vets to team up with me, so if there's anybody there, I need you. I need them with phone books. I've just gotten in touch with just the past Tennessee commander who's helping me a little bit, and we got Zach into the state convention, which is he'll be there on the 15th and the 16th. So thank you so much for doing this. This has just been awesome. Keep it all up, everybody. What a wonderful group of people. Thank you,
Nikki. Nikki, stand by. I'm going to put you on hold, but stand by for the end of the show. Brother Kurt, the last 15 or 30 seconds is yours, my brother.
To my brothers, Greg and Dave, who are. And I think I know what Corker's afraid of, the Zach Pack. The Zach Pack is on the prowl. The Zach Pack is coming for you, Bob. That's all I got to say.
Thanks, Brother Kurt. Stand by. I'm going to end this show up, first of all, by saying again, this show is dedicated to Justin. His father, Greg, was just on the show with us today, and he was a brother of mine, though I didn't ever know him. I was in the 82nd Airborne. I served 82 to 88 under the greatest president that ever lived, Ronald Reagan. And I've got several brothers on the show with me today that served. I didn't know about Justin, but I know about him now. We need folks like Zach and we need folks like Ted in the Senate today to help my brothers and sisters, my band of brothers and sisters who've given their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy. We need these men in the Senate. Patriots, I ask you, are you ready to join the battle? Are you prepared to do what you must outside of your comfort zone to get Ted Cruz and Zach Poskovich into office? If so, I've just given you the starter kit along with Melissa and Brother Shouse and Brother Dave and Brother Burlow and Brother Bing and Brother Kurt and Sister Nikki and Brother Greg. And all of you fine patriots that are in the chat room right now, I've got a lot of guests in there. I don't know who you are, but Joanne and Mike and Becca, my brothers and sisters, my patriots that are all here ready to fight in the cause of liberty. We've given you the starter kit. I urge you to join the Zach Pack on Facebook. I urge you to go to ZachForSenate.com, to TedCruz.org. Donate $5. We've got to get rid of Bob Corker. We can't let David Dewhurst get in office. I'm asking you to plant the standard of conservatism in the ground with me here today. Get out Ted and Zach's message. Blog for them. Advertise for them. Tweet for them. In short, get their name and message out, email, letters to the editor, make phone calls, hold our Tea Party leaders accountable. Hold our conservative leaders accountable. I want to thank you very much for being with Soldiers of Patriotism today. I love you all. Until next Sunday and through the 2nd of August, every single Soldiers of Patriotism show will be dedicated to Ted Cruz and Zach Poshevich. Folks, there is no turning back. God bless America. I love you all.
Promise with so much pain. So being eyes overloaded again. No signs to follow, and the road is dark. 16 miles out of Denver, whistle low. 2,000 markers more to go. Crisscrossing country. So many believe in. Says no use for the bourgeois town.